It's time for What's Up with the Leader of the Opposition, Chris Hipkins.
Turn my mic on here. Good morning, Chris Hipkins.
Good morning.
And now, how are you, mate?
I'm pretty good, thank you. I'm pretty good.
Excellent. Well, let's get into the first topic of the day. The government is considering turning Marsden Point into a special economic zone where investors, including overseas investors, would receive special benefits. The decision comes after the government has effectively abandoned the idea of reopening the oil refinery on site. The zone would be relatively free of planning regulations, and the benefits could include business-friendly regulations. with special economic zones operating under business-friendly regulations, how concerned are you that this could lead to lower environmental protections, particularly in a rather sensitive area like Whangarei Harbour?
Well, it's a total blast from the past, from the current government. I mean, fossil fuels are being phased out around the world, and suddenly New Zealand's government says, oh, no, we shouldn't do that. We should go in completely the opposite direction, and we should start building fossil fuel plants. You know, Marsden Point closed based on a commercial reality here. They were importing fuel to process in New Zealand, and instead they're just importing the processed fuel from overseas. We were still importing the fuel either way. And so I think, you know, this idea that Marsden Point will solve all of our energy woes is actually a fiction, because Marsden Point wasn't processing fuel that was being, extracted here in New Zealand. It was still using imported fuel, processing imported fuel, refining it, and then on-selling it here in New Zealand. And instead, the fuel companies have decided that it's better for them simply to import it directly.
Mm. How realistic do you think it is that the government would establish a special economic zone, because they have been criticised for allowing weaker worker protections? Do you think that the government, if they were to, establish a special economic zone, would be in a position to safeguard fair wages and conditions for workers in these areas?
Oh, I don't think that we should be trading down environmental protections, worker protections, and so on. So, I mean, I totally oppose what they're talking about here. But in reality, I suspect it's just more hot air from Shane Jones. I mean, he promised to reopen Marsden Point and now seems to have finally accepted that he's not going to be able to do that. And so I think he's just looking for some way to save face.
With a potential establishment of a special economic zone, do you think there would be a heavily weighted, would the odds be heavily weighted in the favour of large corporate investors? And what risks could you see for small and locally owned businesses in these particular zones?
The whole concept wouldn't be good for working New Zealanders. It suggests that a big multinational corporation trying to set up a business at Marsden Point wouldn't have to protect their workers. They wouldn't even have to necessarily pay them properly. They wouldn't have to protect the environment. They wouldn't have to do what was in the best interests of New Zealand and New Zealanders. And I can't see how that's going to benefit the country.
Mm. From what I've read, quite a few special economic zones worldwide have struggled to deliver long-term economic benefits. If the government was to do it, do you think they would have safeguards in place to see or prevent special economic zones from becoming like a subsidised or tax-subsidised failure?
Well, I don't think that we can necessarily trust the government at all on these kind of issues. I mean, they can't even deliver a free lunch to school kids. I mean, how on earth do we think that they could do something as complex as a special economic zone?
Now, onto the school lunches, mate. What Christopher Luxon, obviously in the media the other day, has suggested that parents unhappy with school lunches should make a Marmite sandwich and put an apple in a bag. What do you think of that response, and do you believe it reflects a lack of understanding of the struggles of many families face?
I think it shows that Christopher Luxon is completely blind to the effects of child poverty in New Zealand. The number of kids living below the poverty line has gone up significantly as a result of the decisions that his government has taken. And now his response to that simply seems to be to attack their parents. For some of the kids receiving the free, healthy school lunch, it was the only hot meal that they were getting each day. So to say, oh, you just put a Marmite and, a bit of toast bread is the solution, it isn't the solution. In fact, it would leave these kids significantly worse off. I think it's just totally, totally out of touch. Remember, this is a guy who thinks you can do your weekly grocery shop for $60 a week. So, I think he was out of touch for quite some time.
Now, the Prime Minister has placed responsibility for the school lunch program on David Seymour, despite ongoing issues. Do you think Seymour's handling of the situation, do you think Seymour's handling of the situation is appropriate?
Oh, David Seymour's handling of the school lunch program has been an unmitigated disaster. You know, he thinks that it's okay to serve up kids a lunch that has plastic melted into it. He thinks it's okay that lunches just don't show up at all, or that kids are being given butter chicken for, you know, 12 days in a row. All of these things, he just shrugs his shoulders at. The reality here is that they should have known that this was what was going to happen. The company that they've contracted, Compass, have a proven track record of failure when it comes to meeting key performance indicators, whether it's in hospital food, whether it's in prison food, or now in school lunches. They simply just don't deliver.
And now Christopher Luxon has described the school lunch issues as teething problems. Do you believe that this minimises the severity of the complaints from schools and parents?
Well, we're now pretty much halfway through the school term and the problems don't seem to be getting better. So, you know, I think the idea that by the beginning of term two everything's going to be rosy, I think just again underscores it. But what they've done now is because they lowered expectations so low that any improvement in performance they're going to try and claim as a win.
Now,
in reality, under the old scheme, kids were getting a free, healthy, fresh lunch every day. That's not what they're getting under this scheme, even if it was working properly.
If the government continues down the path that they're currently on with school lunches, what long-term effects do you think this could have on child nutrition and educational outcomes?
Well, the free and healthy school lunches program was designed to level the playing field a bit. These kids who come from, you know, many of them come from very disadvantaged backgrounds. It was designed to give them a bit of a level playing field with their peers. So by everybody having the same free, healthy lunch at school every day, kids were actually being genuinely treated as equal. The schools knew who the kids were who were not getting, you know, food outside the school gate, and so they were able to give them a bit more food if they needed to. And unfortunately, all that's gone by the wayside now.
I guess off the top of your head, mate, what would Labor do differently today if you're in power to address what's happening with the school lunches?
I think we've got to look at going back to the program as it was before they sabotaged it. It was creating local jobs. It was delivering good, healthy, nutritious, fresh meals to kids that they wanted to eat. Food waste was getting lower and lower because the food was getting better and better. And I think we need to probably go back to that.
Now, moving along to New Zealand and China's bilateral agreement, with obviously the recent military exercises in the Pacific, how should New Zealand respond to China's increasing military presence in the Pacific, particularly its recent naval exercises in the Tasman Sea?
I think open dialogue is really important. This is where diplomacy actually matters. So New Zealand should retain its independent foreign policy. We should, I think, us raising concerns with China about the lack of notice they gave us for their training exercises in the Tasman Sea, I think, was the right thing to do. I think we should continue to, you know, have an open dialogue with China, bearing in mind that New Zealand warships have, you know, sailed through the Taiwan Strait, for example, which Chinese don't like it when that happens. You know, we might not feel hugely comfortable with them travelling through the Tasman Sea, but they are acting within the bounds of international law.
Do you think the government is doing enough to balance economic ties with China while maintaining independent foreign policy?
I think we do need to diversify our trading relationships. So I support the work that the government are doing there. I mean, we and our government, we signed free trade agreements with the European Union, with the UK. Entered New Zealand into the Comprehensive and Progressive Trans-Pacific Partnership, which opened up a whole range of additional trading options for New Zealand businesses. I think government should continue to lead in that area so that, you know, we're not dependent just on one major economy for our international trade. And I think the signs are New Zealand businesses are heeding that message and they are diversifying who they're trading with.
Now, if geopolitical tensions between China and the US continue to escalate in the Pacific, how do you think New Zealand should position itself?
I mean, I think, you know, New Zealand should continue to position itself independently. We should continue to express New Zealand's views, New Zealand's values, and make sure that we're doing what's in the best interests of Kiwis.
And one last question for you, mate. What specific actions should New Zealand take to strengthen relationships with other Pacific nations to counterbalance China's growing influence in the Pacific?
I think that's a really, really good question, really important topic, because I think if we don't want Pacific countries looking further afield, then we need to make sure that we're a reliable partner to them. So we need to be sitting down with the Pacific, talking about what it is they need and what their hopes and aspirations are, what are the gaps they're trying to fill, and how can New Zealand help with that. So again, you know, international diplomacy, the dialogue, the conversations, they're really important. So we should be really, really active in the Pacific, but we should also be open to the issues that they're raising. So if they've got infrastructure needs that they're struggling to meet, rather than them turning to other countries further afield, New Zealand should be willing to work with them on those.
All right. Hey, Chris Hipkins, leader of the Labour Party, thanks so much for chatting to us this morning. We'll look forward to speaking with you in a couple of weeks.
Good as gold. No problem.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
That was What's Up with Leader of the Opposition, Chris Hipkins.